This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
When the NFL schedules 49ers-Packers to kick off week 9, they're thinking, okay, this is the rematch of the NFC Championship game.
Final score, the Packers 34, the Niners 17.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, NBC horse racing analyst Eddie Olchek. Coming up, actor Jeremy Piven. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 on our show. We've had so much fun over the last 2 hours mixing around information on the NFL and the NBA from Albert Breer and Brian Windhorst of Sports Illustrated and ESPN, respectively. We've been talking about our poll questions, which have just been so much fun. On the football side of things, the best wide receiver in the league after Devontae Adams torched the San Francisco 49ers last night. And when asked the question, are you the best wide receiver in the league? He said, yes, it's not conceded. I'm just confident. That poll question's at Rich Eisen Show with DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, and Adams as the choices, because we're seeing right now, with all due respect to Michael Thomas.
And Julio Jones.
Well, Michael Thomas expected back Sunday night. I mean, and then that's one of the things I talked about with Albert Breer, which you can see on our YouTube page as well as right here on Peacock. When you go right to this spot, this sports tile, if you will, on the or choice on the bar that's at the top of your Peacock screen. All our clips are sitting right there. So we talked about Antonio Brown coming back, and that'll be on NBC on Sunday night, and of an incredible weekend, which we'll discuss a little bit, starting with the Breeders' Cup Classic with Eddie Olchek, who's going to be part of your news update that I am leading to right now, Christopher, in our third hour. That's one of our poll questions. And it's Antonio Brown coming back on Sunday night, and so is potentially Michael Thomas. So that's going to be an excellent game, a must-see game, as you would say, on NBC. Absolutely. And our other poll question, Christopher, I'll give you the floor on that, because we just had an incredible segment with Daniel Jeremiah, who actually gave us legitimate scouting reports on all four of these fictional football gentlemen. Go for it, Chris.
I'm putting up the scouting reports right now at Rich Eisen Show. Which fictional football player would you take first overall in the NFL draft? It's the 22nd anniversary of the release of The Waterboy. Bobby Boucher, Johnny Utah from Point Break, Willie Beeman, Any Given Sunday, and Forrest Gump, of course. 46% now, Bobby Boucher is leading the poll right now, first overall in the NFL draft.
The crazy thing is, every time I see that photograph of Forrest in the helmet, it looks like Colin Hanks.
Oh, right.
It's a spitting image of Colin. Every time it looks up there, I'm like, is that my buddy Colin? Doesn't it look like Colin? Well, they are related.
It makes sense.
It does. It's amazing. It's kind of frightening a little bit. That was great with Daniel Jeremiah. We'll post that on our Twitter at Rich Eisen Show as well as soon as it comes back from the oven. And 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman with a news update right here on the show to kick off our third hour. Jeremy Piven of Entourage fame will be joining us. He's in a new film, My Dad's Christmas Date, which is in theaters and on demand today. But let's get right now the latest from Chris Brockman on the world of sports on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Okay, guys, just some injury stuff as we head into the weekend. Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore said it's a wait-and-see thing on how much Ezekiel Elliott will be able to handle in Week 10 against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my God.
Zeke didn't practice much this week, dealing with a hamstring issue.
Oh, my God.
Still haven't named a starting quarterback, Mike McCarthy. It's Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, TJ. It is just my general default after working with Michael Irvin for 10 solid years is to stare down the Cowboy fan on the set when something negative about the team happens. It's not anything against you.
I mean, you're looking literally like you want to jump me right
literally,
now.
It literally is my default that anytime something happens about the Cowboys, I've got to stare right at the Cowboy fan on the set. And that at this moment
is me.
Is you.
Yeah.
I've just compared you to the playmaker, which I know you understand that is some of the highest regard it can possibly give somebody.
He's the best.
So you're saying Cooper Rush?
Cowboy!
There it is. Yeah. Well,
what are you doing in the moment? Okay, that was unnecessary. All right.
You know, it's funny. It's got to the point where Susie, during a Cowboy game, you know, she is watching the Cowboys and Eagles with me on Sunday night. She turns to me and she goes, "You know what's coming up tonight, then?" And I'm thinking to myself, I'm literally like, you know, are we, you know, what's happening later on tonight? She looks at me, she goes, "Stephen A. Smith is going to put on a video." Like, she's actually looking forward to it. Like, maybe. He's got an audience for this specific.
You know who doesn't look
genre.
Forward to it?
You.
Yes.
You.
Those videos are amazing. He's like dancing in his living room. He's eating cookies. He's got music playing.
It's the longest running show. It's like Cats right now. It's like it's like the sports version of Cats.
Quote Kurt Cobain, I wish I was like you, easily amused, okay? Because it's not
And my lock
great.
Of the week. My lock of the week. Let him choose the Patriots over the Jets. Throw the records out. You know, anything can happen when the Patriots play the Jets. Anything can happen. You could see ghosts. You could run. You could run into the taint of your offensive lineman. You never know. And I just use that phrase. You can. Now, I know neither of those worked out for the Jets, but I'm just saying anything happens when these two teams face each other. So let him choose lock of the week, Patriots over the Jets. Doom, doom. Undefeated Steelers over the Cowboys. Front load it. Tune in. NFL game day morning, right around 12:45 p.m. Eastern. Oh, it's going to be a delicious moment. And I do not take any joy in this, even though I've sound everything about me as joyous. I do respect Rich Dalrymple is one of my favorite people on the planet.
He's
I've gotten to meet with the Cowboys.
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
He is a great human being. Jerry Jones, Mr. Jones, my network does not exist if it is not for his largesse, financial and emotional support.
Settle down just a little bit.
Thank you. I understand.
You found
Thank
him.
You.
You found
Thank
them
you.
All.
You found the drops.
All right, it's just some other injury stuff, guys.
I needed to say all that, though.
Vic Fangio.
I cannot believe Zeke might be getting it's Tony Pollard getting the ball.
Tony
from
Pollard.
Gilbert Grape.
Has been more effective of late.
Look, I don't need any more of our top guys getting hurt. So if Zeke needs to sit this one out, sit it out.
You should tank for Trevor Lawrence. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio said Philip Lindsay expected to play this weekend against Atlanta.
Okay.
Chris Carson has been sidelined. He hasn't practiced much this week, so keep an eye if he goes today for Seattle. They are in Buffalo. Would be another steady dose of DJ Dallas.
DJ Dallas.
For the Seahawks. Buccaneers, Bruce Arians said he expects Chris Godwin to play.
Oh.
You know, he had that surgically repaired finger. Looks
what
like
in the hell is that offense going to look like with Godwin back and Evans and Antonio Brown and Scotty Miller?
And Ronald Jones and Gronk and Fournette.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the first class problem.
Yeah, Scotty Miller, obviously, I think would be the odd.
I don't know.
There, but
I don't know.
Who knows?
Scotty had a good game.
It's going to be a pain issue that Godwin's going to be dealing with. So we'll see there. Kyle Shanahan said Jimmy Garoppolo. Good news. No one of the doctors are recommending surgery right now.
My goodness.
Going to rest him the next 4 to 6 weeks. See what happens. But I imagine his season would be over.
What a great chat with Albert Breer about Jimmy G and what the Niners think of him in the future. And again, that'll be sitting on our Twitter at Rich Eisen Show, YouTube, richeisenshow.com/YouTube, and right here on Peacock. What else you got, Chris?
Panthers officially activated Christian McCaffrey, expected to play against the Chiefs this weekend.
Mike Davis experience is sadly ended.
Pour one out for Mike Davis. Manischewitz, do you pour out Manischewitz for people?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Pour out Manischewitz, Chris.
Mitch Trubisky visited a doctor's here in Los Angeles yesterday for the further evaluation of his right shoulder.
Gosh.
Determined surgery, not needed. Going to continue to rehab in Chicago. He's week to week, but I doubt he'll see
We need him back so we can ask if Foles needs to be sad. I mean, otherwise, how are you going to get through the rest of the season? Is media watching the Bears?
Yeah. We mentioned some COVID violation fines for some teams earlier. $500,000 for the Raiders, another $150,000 for John Gruden, and also a forfeiture of a 2021 sixth-round pick from Las Vegas
I don't know if I saw that as the actual word that was used in media reports about. I think
It says took.
They took a draft choice away.
Yeah, they took a draft
Why
choice.
Why do you use the word forfeiture?
Because New England had to forfeit a... It wasn't taken from New England. It was forfeited a first-round pick for Deflategate, but... It was taken because the league couldn't understand science. It's all good. No, don't worry about it. Seattle Seahawks quarterback.
Are you mumbling to yourself over there, or are you delivering the news?
That was a sidebar to the actual subset of the Raiders news story. Hey, this is kind of cool. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. You know, we've been hearing the phrase, let Russ cook all season, right? He actually filed a trademark application on October 6th for a trademark that would cover cooking utensils, cookware, and cooking attire, such as chef hats and aprons.
Mm-hmm. As you know, when he was on the show, I asked him, are you going to have a cooking show? Like, how does he not do that?
Have to now.
How does he not?
He's got a bunch of kids with Ciara at home. Like, let's rock and roll.
Cook it up.
Rich, you're not going to like this story.
That's a terrible way to start it.
Well, I'm just being honest. I'm front-loading for you. New York Jets legend Joe Namath. Of course, you know, the Jets are in the running for the first overall pick. They are winless right now. He wouldn't be surprised if Trevor Lawrence tried to leverage a trade. A la Eli Manning in 2004. Anything could happen in this world, damn near anything, except for the Jets maybe making the playoffs, Namath said Friday with ESPN. It's happened before, so why would it shock anybody?
If Joe's given up all hope.
Joe's given up.
If Joe Namath, Broadway Joe, who sees the positives in every single thing the Jets do, if Joe, we have to call, in the meantime, before that, let me just address Joe. Joe, we can't have you giving up hope. Honestly, cynical. I can handle this. Let me be cynical. Let me be the cynic. Let me be the guy who rants and raves and is totally cynical and hates every single thing about what's going on. You have to stay positive for all of us. So stay positive. Make sure that everything's going on in your life to stay positive and focused. Because Trevor Lawrence is coming. Trevor Lawrence is coming. And we need you and Trevor Lawrence standing there. You with your big smile, your Broadway Joe smile. And there's Trevor Lawrence with his long hair. And you in your fur coat. And we're back, baby. Just keep the faith. Be patient. Every loss must be counted. And tabulated. All losses will be legal. Be patient. Wait for the results. Stay positive, Joe.
Nice, nice.
Thank you.
Two quick baseball things. The Mets sale to Steve Cohen closed and official. Congrats, TJ. You have a new owner.
Bobby Axelrod, the owner of the Mets.
And as we said, it looks like Alex Cora is going back to Boston to be its manager.
Brother.
John Heyman saying ownership and key players supported
the
return of Cora. But it was Hank Bloom's call in the end, general manager.
That is true.
That is true.
That is true. It is true.
I'm glad he made the right call.
It is true. So let's make some people some money.
Yeah, let's do it. Breeders' Cup coming up this weekend. Eddie O is on the phone right now.
Eastern time on NBC, as well as additional live Breeders' Cup coverage this afternoon on NBCSN, our buddy Eddie Olchuk. How are you, Eddie?
Hey, Rich. Nice to be with you. Thanks a lot.
You got it. So how's it looking there? In Lexington, what do you got?
It's beautiful. If I could paint a picture, it's probably about 68 degrees. Really not a cloud in the sky. I can still see a rough silhouette of the moon. And we got the horses taking the track for the first couple of races today on the future Friday's Breeders' Cup Day. And then we got the big race tomorrow, as you mentioned, the Breeders' Cup Classic. So it is doesn't get any better than this. And just looking forward to a huge couple of days of hopefully putting some coin in the pocket and having a nice trip back home to Chicago.
All right, let's get to that putting coin in the pocket, Eddie, and get you back to your NBCSN coverage. Let's make some Rich Eisen show consumers some hard-earned American dollars. What do you got for me?
Yeah, we'll try to improve off of Art Collector in the Preakness, but he is in the Breeders' Cup Classic, which will be the 12th race, going to go off at about 5 Eastern. We're the appetizer before Clemson and Notre Dame tomorrow, Rich, as you know. So it'll be a great day of sports on NBC. But I look at that race. It's a 10-horse field. They're going to go a mile and a quarter on the dirt. And Bob Baffert has 3 horses. He has the 8 Improbable. He has the 9 Authentic and the 10 Maximum Security. And of course, people will remember Maximum Security, the horse that finished the line first in last year's Kentucky Derby in a slop in Louisville, but was rightfully so disqualified and was put back to 17th. There is a football tie-in to this race as well for people to keep an eye on here, Rich. Tom's Day Tot, the 7-year-old, is owned by Gail Benson, who obviously owns the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
And her late husband, Tom, Mr. Benson, was a huge proponent of horse racing, owned many, many horses. So their horse has a chance in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So maybe a little daily double, a little football and horse racing for the Benson family come the Breeders' Cup and Sunday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I see this race really coming down to three horses. I see it coming down to Improbable, the 8, Authentic, the 9, who won this year's Kentucky Derby, and the 4-horse Tom's Day Tot, who I just mentioned. I'm not sure the price of Improbable, who is the morning line favorite, probably will go off at maybe 2.5 to 3 to 1. So if you bet 10, you put, you put 35 in your pocket and you say, thank you very much. So I'm looking at those three horses as being really the key to the Breeders' Cup Classic tomorrow.
So somebody wants to put in a ticket. What do you suggest, Eddie? Let's
well,
just
I would
hammer
say an
it out.
Exacta box. I would say an exacta box, meaning, any combination of the 4, 8, 9 finishing in the top two. For a $2 investment in any combination of that number, you can box them up, you can play straight. You probably would turn that $2, that profit, depending on how much you invested. But I think a $2 exacta with those three horses and any combination, I have a chance to pay anywhere between, $16 and maybe $28 or $29. So obviously you want the longer shot horse to be able to, to win. And that would be Tom's Day Tot, who's the 7-year-old and trying to become the oldest Breeders' Cup Classic winner in the history of the running of the Breeders' Cup. So I would certainly do that. Box them up in an exacta. If you want to play some trifectas or use some other horses, feel free. But I'm going to play Improbable, win place, the 8-horse, and hopefully turn in $20 investment into maybe about $65 or $75.
And Improbable, if somebody just wants to wet their beak a little bit, just a little taste, just to say someone's going to win.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to stay the course and not get too exotic, and just say win place or put something on the nose.
Yeah.
I think Improbable. I think we're in the right area code. I'm just hoping that we have the right number.
Eddie, thanks for the time. Go back to work. We'll see you on Saturday. Big part of the NBC Sports Weekend. Thanks for the call.
Always great being with you, and keep up the great work.
Right, right back at you. That's Eddie Olczyk here in the Rich Eisen Show. Sadly, we have not been up on the horse racing front this year, Ryan.
We are definitely in the red this year, guys. Sadly. But yeah. We're going to stay on that horse.
By the way,
4, 8, 9.
What a field, right? I mean, Maximum Security, Tis the Law, Improbable, Authentic. These are some, I guess it's why a Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is a Triple Crown field.
This is great.
Yeah. So Eddie likes the 8-horse to win. He's going to throw a little win place money on that. And then a 4, 8, 9 exacta box.
Well, you know who enjoys this as much as us is my children. Because they know when we are placing a bet on a horse race based on information from the Rich Eisen Show, they know that if I make money, they get, Robux on their Roblox accounts. This fakakta game that they keep playing all the time. Look it up.
How do you spell that?
By the way, if I use the English, I'd be slapped in the wrist considerably. I think it's the same word that Ninja used 3 times in the conversation.
Oh, Roblox with an X.
Yes, Roblox.
I got you.
So, okay, 4, 9, 4, 8, 9.
4, 8, 9 exact.
We got to go super. We got to go. Just do it all.
Lots of horses.
Why not? What are we going to do?
Well, we're in the business of making money.
What else are you going to do on a Saturday?
Well, I'm teeing it up tomorrow. So.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you serious? You're playing golf tomorrow.
I am playing golf tomorrow.
When's the last time you did that?
Last weekend.
Oh gosh. That's right. I forget you have one child and only one job.
I have one child.
My
He's a man of leisure.
One child, one job.
I'm one for one.
I got it. Let's take a break. When we come back, Jeremy Piven will be joining us. We'll chat with the actor from Entourage, and also he had a cup of coffee on Seinfeld, right? The George character on Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot to talk about with him.
Lots to talk about.
Larry Sanders Show and so much more. And, of course, the Chicago Bears. Maybe he's the one holding Trubisky's hand as he gets his shoulder looked at here in town. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard. drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. The awesome Candace Parker is their guest today. She is all kinds of amazing and great. And that'll be Michael Holly and Michael Smith, brother from another, at 3 Eastern time. And we'll take you there. We've got 39 more minutes of fun and frolic and information and conversation.
Wow.
By the way, that was a Fifth Dimension song.
Nice.
39 minutes of fun and frolic and information and...
You had it right the first time.
I don't know what the hell I said. I can't even remember anymore. This week has been so insane. Like, literally, just like for the rest of America.
By the way, the Mets just sold for $2.5 billion.
That's right, with a B.
Holy smokes.
Oh, hey, man, I mean...
Hey, Axe Cap has a lot of money.
Axe Cap has a ton of money. is Wags the new general manager of the Mets?
Bench coach.
We're waiting for a David Wright to accept
Stephen Cohen, the new owner of the New York Metropolitans and the guy who's going to be picking up the tab for Bobby Bonilla for the next 15 years.
Is that true? How much longer?
I don't know. It's close.
I think they're like
back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio simulcast. Say that again? Because we're talking about the Mets and having new ownership.
I'm going to say it's about 2030 or something.
You got to be excited. I mean, like somebody is like...
2035.
I've got $2.5 billion to put down and buy the New York Metropolitans. I'm assuming that there are some other people who chipped in. But the days of you wondering if you could pay for somebody to go toe-to-toe with the Yankees is over. You've never had that. Mets have never had that. Mets have never once had that. Mets have never been in the same league as the Yankees since Steinbrenner bought them. Nobody. That's over. Seriously.
Now they just need players to go there.
You know Koppelman and Levine have denied, the creators and writers of Billions, that this is the character. Oh, this is the human being on which the character Bobby Axelrod was based.
According to those guys, they hang with several billionaires. So it's kind of Bobby Axelrod is a melting pot of all these other dudes.
Makes sense. Makes total complete sense.
Yeah.
I totally get it. But you, if you read his history, it does seem Axe-ish. You got to be psyched. I got to call my brother later. Congratulate him. Welcome to New York. Welcome to the New York market. Welcome to the number one sports market.
I'd be psyched if it meant that our bullpen got better. But I mean, great, we got new ownership.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
Alonso's not going to walk, and you know, because you can't pay him and all that. That's over. Wait till you get your big first huge ass free agent spending and be like, what is this? What is this thing I discover? What is this feeling that I have as a fan where my owner puts all the money out there and doesn't scrimp and save and all of this sort of stuff? What is this sensation I have?
That's how our teams feel.
It doesn't always work out.
It doesn't always work out.
And hey, you know the Red Sox. The reason why Chaim Bloom is there right now. By the way, I just did use the. Hamish way of saying it, Chaim Bloom.
Chaim Bloom.
The reason why he's there is because Dombrowski gave all that money to
Eovaldi
and all that stuff. There was a lot of maneuvers.
The David Price deal, the Chris Sale extension.
And one thing that you could say many things about the Henry Werner ownership.
Yep.
What they definitely do is they hire somebody. They delegate to that person, and they say, go do it. So when Heyman says that this was a Chaim Bloom hire, that is true. And for your desires, your longtime hopes and desires of getting Alex Cora back, I say to you, L'chaim.
Thank you.
To life.
To life. To championships.
To life.
L'chaim.
When you thought Alex Cora was out, they pull him right back in. You're so psyched.
I'm so psyched.
Players loved him.
Love playing for that guy.
I wonder if Mookie would still be there.
I mean.
I wonder.
Let's not ruin my excitement.
All right. let's take a phone call here. We're seeing if Jeremy Piven is going to join us today. If not, we'll get him on another time. Here we roll. Let's roll. Ian in Chicago, Illinois. What's up, Ian?
Hi.
You there, Ian? Hey, Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, you know, just hanging out. Hey, listen, wanted to call in, talk a little bit about this draft, because I think we're overlooking a few people.
Yeah, our draft, our poll question of which is the best fictional football player that should be drafted number one overall, correct? Is that what you're saying?
You got it, my man.
Okay.
I'm going with my first overall pick, a little unconventional, because you normally don't want to go kicker, but I'm going Kathy Ireland.
Oh.
Necessary Roughness.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, that would obviously cause some major consternation that you go kicker number one overall, but she absolutely had she had it going. There's no doubt about that.
And being in Chicago, I know. I mean, she was making kick after kick through driving rain.
Absolutely.
We would not have had a double doink.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the call. Way to hang in there, Ian, in Chicago. He's been hanging on quite some time to deliver that. And speaking of fictional kickers in history of film, Gus the Kicking Mule.
Oh.
Now, I know I'm predating
that
you.
That would be unconventional.
That Disney movie, the Disney movie Gus.
I've never seen that. No.
Don Knotts, I believe, was a coach in that film. I remember seeing, I might have seen a double feature once upon a time of Gus and Herbie the Love Bug.
Wow.
Yes, kids, they used to make movies about a Volkswagen bug.
Yes, kids, we used to go to the movie theater.
And there was a villain in Herbie Rides Again. That I forget the actor. Oh, I think his name was Keenan Wynn, actually. Look it up. Herbie Rides Again. The actor's name was Keenan Wynn, and he scared the crap out of me to the point where I had nightmares. Now you understand my problems, why I am who I am.
Yeah, Keenan Wynn played Alonzo Hawk
in Herbie Rides Again.
Herbie Rides
Again. What year was that?
1974.
1974. I was a 5-year-old kid.
Always skewing younger, Rich. Great job.
Keenan early win. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Pleased to have here on the program his new film, My Dad's Christmas Date, is in theaters and on demand today. He plays the role of the aforementioned dad. He is Jeremy Piven. How are you, Jeremy?
Good. How are you, sir? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. Let's start with the sports. Let's do that.
Let's do it, man.
Your thoughts on your Chicago Bears. I give you the floor on the Bears, Jeremy.
Well, you know, I just got a call from them, and I have a tryout for offensive guard because we're 3 out of 5 down.
Yes.
Right now.
Yep.
They need a 5'9" Jewish offensive guard, apparently, and I am ready. Rich, as you know, I am ready.
Yes, indeed.
You've seen me.
I have seen you. I've never seen you, you know, on some sort of running, pulling situation. I've never seen that, but I'm going to trust you. You have that first step ability,
no,
Jeremy.
No, sir. If you remember correctly,
yes,
you were there. We had a big flag football game that was televised live on ESPN.
Yes.
And I have great lateral movement. I need to celebrate myself for a moment. So.
Well, you know, your coach, Matt Nagy, does have that phrase, be you. And if that's who you are, then right. I think you need to get to Tennessee right away, because that's going to be a tough one coming up this weekend for your Bears.
It will be a tough one, but isn't this one of those moments where, like, you know, a player on the practice squad who has been the best player on every field he's ever walked onto – gets his moment? Isn't this the time? I'm confused.
Are you the Rudy? You're the Rudy of the Chicago 2020 Chicago Bears, is essentially what you're saying right now.
No, what I'm saying is there is not me. We've moved on.
Okay, we've moved on from that bit. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Okay.
I'm just saying there are our offensive line, you know, is challenged, and there's some guys that are going to be stepping up. And, you know, Trubisky, you know, has been moved to backup, and he played one play, got injured. It happens.
It is kind of crazy in that regard. But I mean, it is like watching teeth get pulled, this offense, trying to get some points on the board, Jeremy. But you never know. This thing can change in a heartbeat, and Foles might be the guy to do it. You just never know.
Listen, he's a brilliant quarterback. Have an incredible defense, so anything is possible.
Jeremy Piven here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so are you in a fantasy team, or just you watch the Bears and that's basically about it?
Well, I'm a fan of reality. I don't need to fantasize about football players.
Nice.
But if you want to spend, every waking moment, then I celebrate you.
Okay.
For doing that. I don't do a lot of fantasy.
Okay, very good. So you're more steeped in reality. During this crazy ass quarantine if we're staying at home, what of yours from your work, television, movies that you flipped the television on, you saw on the screen, like, oh, I forgot I did that. Does that happen? Any point in time, last several months?
I don't ever go, I forget, but the other night, they were showing Old School on CBS. It was like the Sunday night movie they're bringing back. And, it's one of those movies that never gets old. It was great to see.
So Old School was actually on network television as a Sunday night movie that actually happened?
It happened.
That's amazing. Holy crap. Some of the things I want to talk with you about before we get to your film is, when was the last time you did watch an episode of Entourage? When was the last time that happened?
Well, I don't know exactly how long it's been, but what's interesting is people in real time keep reaching out about it. When are you guys coming back? What's going on? We miss you. And then they'll send me, on like Instagram stories, they'll send me scenes. A therapy scene of Ari Gold and Mrs. Ari, where Ari is losing his mind. And it's being brought to my attention all the time. I think because, people miss it, which makes me feel good that we had an impact. But I think also in these times where everyone is on their best behavior, that represents a time when, it was an authentic show. Ari, the character of Ari, was an equal opportunity offender. And, it was just simpler times where we were having a good laugh and we weren't necessarily worried about who we were offending.
Who was the best athlete guest star that as for an actor? Who had the best chops, Jeremy, that showed up
the
on that show?
The best chops. That's a great question.
Thank you.
The best chops as an actor. Well, I'll tell you this. When Mike Tyson, when he showed up, he had a very specific idea of how he wanted to play it. And then he and he's the great Mike Tyson, the youngest heavyweight champion, and he's making his return.
Yes.
As you know.
Yes.
Because, the gods of war have ignited my ego, which is fantastic. The gods of war have ignited. I think he needs to sit on a couch and play God of War and maybe ignite his barbecue. I don't know. But he's back and we're excited. He ultimately was kind of the best performer because he and I worked together and I got him improvising. And then he just ultimately crushed it.
I've got Jeremy Piven here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about My Dad's Christmas Date. You and Jolie Richardson and Natalie Cox and Anna Walton. I give you the floor. Did you shoot this in London, or it was just this was all shot there, right?
Just outside, a couple hours outside of London.
Okay,
is this brilliant town called York, and I don't know if they wrote it with this town in mind, mm-hmm. but it's this magical place where it has castles, and it's authentic, and it's beautiful, and it feels like Christmas. And I play a guy who lost his wife, and he's trying to connect with his daughter, and, they haven't dealt with their grieving process. And so it's awkward, and he's trying too hard, and he's a mess. And the daughter takes it upon herself to try to get her old man to kind of connect with love, and she goes, and she's very cheeky, and goes online and sets him up on all these dating sites, and suddenly he's on a date and he doesn't even know it, and hilarity ensues. It's one of those movies that you think it's going to be one thing and it becomes another. It's really funny and edgy and heartfelt, and I'm pretty proud of it.
And again, it's My Christmas Date is in theaters and on demand today with you, Jeremy Piven. Before I let you go, some may not know or remember because they're too damn young that Entourage was not your first HBO foray. You were an integral part of one of the greatest shows in the history of television, the Larry Sanders Show. What was it like being around Gary Shandling for all of that, Jeremy?
It was really cool. You know, to make a sports analogy, it would have been like being on the Bulls in the 90s. I knew it because I did grow up in Chicago, and I grew up on the stage, and I am a stage actor. And so I had a reference for comedy at Second City and all that stuff. I started with a guy named Chris Farley a million years ago in the Second City Touring Company. So I had a reference for comedy. So I knew how good he was and how good that show was. And I was a guy who was coming off the bench. I was like Craig Hodges on the Chicago Bulls. And so I knew that I was surrounded by greatness, and I was lucky to be there, and I just soaked it all up, and it was incredible. And he was a genius. And that show launched original programming on HBO. So I was incredibly lucky to be around it.
There is, I mean, every second of that show is like a drop of honey on the planet. Like, literally every scene, every word, you know, just you and the rest of that cast was just perfection. Rip Torn was crazy, right? I mean, was he totally nuts being around him on that set?
Well, you know, first of all, God rest his soul.
Right.
And he was, it was a last of a dying breed. Let's say that. I mean, he was from Texas, and he was obviously, you know, this thespian, master thespian, but like, you know, a guy that was not afraid of trouble in any way, shape, or form. I remember one time he came back from lunch, and he had taken off his toupee and was shaking out what looked like glass out of his toupee. And he said that someone had shattered his windshield, and he got into some altercation. And he just kind of just got the windshield out of his toupee and just put it right back on and just got back into the scene without missing a beat.
That is definitely a great Rip Torn story. You got a good Farley one, since you just mentioned that you broke in with him?
Well, Farley was one of these guys, you know, like Rip Torn, who was it's such an authentic character that lived his life to the fullest. And so we would perform at Second City, and then you would go out until a million o'clock and you would drink. And Chicago is open till 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Saturday nights. And so on a Saturday night, you'd go to the pub and do your thing and crush it and then go to sleep. But I just remember seeing him going to the gas station to get a mac and cheese at dawn, and he just played through, and I just tapped out. And, you know,
he played through. It's a great way to put it. He played through with a morning mac and cheese from a gas station.
Yeah, he did.
No doubt.
He did it. And he was also quite an athlete. As you could tell, he was a rugby player at Loyola. And, you know, he was about a biscuit over 300 pounds, but he was still very flexible.
Yeah, you could see he was definitely nimble. Hey, Jeremy, speaking of nimble, I look forward to watching you create some holes for David Montgomery on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans.
That sounds both enticing and dirty and awkward.
So let me put it this way. I look forward to you pass blocking for Nick Foles on Sunday against Tennessee. And then everybody can check out My Dad's Christmas Date in theaters and on demand today. Thanks for the call, Jeremy. You take care.
Thank you, sir. Take care of yourself.
Right back at you. That's Jeremy Piven.
Bears.
You go Bears. There you go.
Oh, Bears.
So Farley, Rip Torn, Mike Tyson. Those are just three names that he's been with. And we didn't even talk about Seinfeld.
Nope.
Or Lucas.
Heat. There's a lot to get.
Heat.
Say anything.
Heat guy. All right. So let's take a break. Here's what we got. I got three games that nobody's talking about under the radar for week 9 in the NFL. You've got three sneaky good games, right?
Yeah, buddy. And a bonus game.
You got a bonus. Okay.
College bonus.
Oh, college bonus. College bonus. Then we'll finish up our poll questions and get you set for this amazing weekend on NBC of Sports. That's how we're rolling here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. On NBC, that is tomorrow at 2:30 Eastern Time from Lexington, Kentucky. And then that leads into Clemson at Notre Dame. That leads into a new edition of Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle and Dave Grohl as the host and musical act. That leads into Sunday with the NASCAR championship crowning a champion in Phoenix, which leads into football night in America, leading to Saints v. Bucks. How about that? Proud as a peacock.
Let's go.
And we're proud to be on Peacock, taking you to Brother from Another right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Candace Parker is the guest of the gents who take over from us, Michael Holly and Michael Smith. 844-204-RICH. We'll have enough time to sneak in a phone call or two, but we've got a lot to get to. I'll do my three good games and you do your three games, Chris, right? Or like plus it. One. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, our simulcast is back together with our radio and television partners all together. Every single Friday, we do a little higher register. We did that earlier. Every single Friday, I also give you three National Football League regular season contests of the upcoming docket under the radar. So, Jason, if you would not please get some NFL Films music ready. This gift puts me in the mood. Here are my three games that are under the radar for week number 9. Starting in the early window, Chris, I'm going to do it again. I'm going back to Atlanta.
Oh.
Denver and the Falcons. Denver at the Falcons.
Nobody Broncos is talking v about Falcons. This game.
Nobody's talking about this game. Nobody's talking about the Denver Broncos, Chris.
They're not.
I did earlier in the season. I called them my sleeper team in the American Football Conference and then immediately stopped thinking about that because Von Miller was out for the season in that freak injury right. And Chubb. And then we go on and on and on and on and on. And Drew Locke went out. And despite all of this, the Denver Broncos go into Atlanta and beat the 2-win Atlanta Falcons. They're 500, Christopher. They're 4-4, which puts them right on the verge of sniffing it.
Sniffing it.
They would be 4-4 if they win this football
wow.
game.
I would not have guessed
How
that.
How about that? Now, I'm not saying the division's there for them. I'm saying that there is a possibility that they're on a 7 seed in them, which is the way I thought about them coming into the season. So I'm bringing this up because my sleeper team may still be alive in the AFC. The NFC was Arizona. I saw that coming a mile away. But the Broncos could be 4-4. And then there's the case of the Falcons, who I used as a fourth down hot take a couple weeks ago, that they're going to be in the running for the 7 seed. And had Todd Gurley not scored against Detroit, this team would be 4-5 coming in this game. I mean, pardon me, they'd be 4-4 coming into this game. Not 2-6, or 3-5, my bad. They'd be 3-5 coming into this game instead of 2-6. And I think they still have that ability. So keep an eye on that CBS early window game. And then at 1 o'clock, it's Giants v. Washington football team. Yes, kids, Ron Rivera was on the show on Monday, and the Washington football team head coach is on the sideline, coming off the bye, talking about Kyle Allen with this team. If they win this game, if the Washington football team wins this game, they are one half game behind the Philadelphia Eagles, who are on a bye week. So the NFC East could have some competition going on at the top. And I know it's, you know, kind of like watching two drunk guys fight outside of a bar, but it is still a competition. And this would be a big game. And if the Giants lose it, you already even heard Albert Breer in hour number one talk about, oh, the Giants would definitely trade away Daniel Jones for Trevor Lawrence. Well, they would start to become in the ether of winning, you know, losing just enough to be able to catch the Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are starting Jake Luton this week. The Giants are a team to watch with Daniel Jones. If he's not the guy, is he the guy? I think he is, and I think they are not wavering in their support for him. Well, let's see what 1-8, 1-9, and 1-10 would look like. That's what I'm looking at right there. And then nobody's talking about...
This is a sneaky big game.
This is a game between the second-place teams in the AFC North yeah. and the AFC South. Once upon a time, you know, and again, it's kind of crazy here that I need to kind of remind people about it. But when the Ravens came back into being, it was always Ravens-Browns, of course, because the Ravens came into being because they left Cleveland in order to create it. The Colts used to be in Baltimore. And this is something that we always talked about. There are some people in Baltimore who would like the Ravens to go into Indianapolis and beat the crap out of the Ursay family because they still remember the Mayflower trucks that came in the middle of the night and took their team away, needing them to take the team from Cleveland. But I digress. This is a game that if there is a surge of another team like, say, Denver, I know this is totally crazy, or the Dolphins in the AFCs, there's another team that jumps into the mix with the Browns in the mix. This is a small, slight, infinitesimal chance of a possibility of being a wild card tiebreaker game. Who's in and who's out? I doubt it, but it is definitely in the realm of possibility of who's a 5 seed and who's a 6 seed, which could be a big difference as to who you face in the first round of the playoffs. It's Philly Riv, old man Philly Riv against Lamar Jackson. Could not be two more diverse styles at quarterback also, and two tough defenses. We're keeping our eye on so many other places, but why are we not talking more about Baltimore against Indianapolis? We now have. Those are my three games that are under the radar for week 9 in the NFL here on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Now then, Christopher, are you ready? You want me to take a phone call? You want me to tee you up? What do you want me to do? Let's take a phone call.
You can take a phone call, but okay. I'm ready, but you can take a phone call.
Let's tee it up. Alex in California here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Rich, thanks for taking my call. First time, long time.
Attaboy, where you been?
Wanted to call in and answer your question from yesterday. If you had a DeLorean and go back in time and change something.
Yes.
I would go back to October 29th, 2017.
Okay.
I would go to Houston, Texas. I would sneak into the Dodgers dugout and let Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw know, hey, they have a trash can over there. You guys might want to change some things up. And the way Dodgers could probably celebrate a world championship
okay.
that year.
So you'd go into the DeLorean, you'd get in the DeLorean, you'd get into now the DeLorean would look very weird just if it just burst right into like up the first baseline a Minute Maid, right? I mean, you definitely need to get in the gap, right, with the car to make sure that you have enough space to land it and stop it.
Well, I would try to get on the train track up there, kind of like Back to the Future 3.
Nice. Well,
thank you for the call, Alex. Appreciate it. Look at the screen right here.
I'm Doc Brown.
No,
right?
I'm Doc Brown. You're Marty McFly.
I mean, I'll take either one at this point.
That is a disturbing image. That is a disturbing image. Don Bowie, diehard Saints fan, said before the show that if he would go back in the DeLorean and go to the Metrodome and tell the Saints to look out for Stephon Diggs going down the right sideline.
Yeah, or maybe just tackle him.
Well, they knew to tackle him, right? They just didn't kind of see him sneaking over the first line of defense, I would think. Wait till he catches it, I guess, and then take him out. That was a fun construct yesterday.
That was.
We'll
fun.
Do it every November 5th from now on. How does that sound? Right. So mark your dates and calendars.
Why wait so long?
I don't know.
Do it a few times a year.
Okay.
Before we get to sneaky good, Rich, breaking news from Bruce Feldman. Pac-12 football is supposed to start this weekend.
They're pushing it back, are they?
Utah is canceling their game against Arizona tomorrow. Decision made under the Pac-12's cancellation policy because Utah does not have the minimum number of scholarship players available.
It's awful, man. This virus is everywhere. It's just terrible.
Brutal.
Please, everybody, mask up. It really is. I mean, and I hate the fact that that sounds political or politically correct. But the governor of Utah has said it himself. So I'm just throwing that out there. Ooh. Please, everybody, mask up. Be safe. Chris Brockman, let's get to your sneaky good games for week number 9
let's
in
go.
The NFL.
Here's Chris Brockman with sneaky good games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
All right, 2-2 last week, 14-10-1 on the season. First up, I'm going to look in Arizona, Dolphins at Cardinals. Going to take the Cardinals, home team here, -4.5. They're 4-1 against the spread the last 5 games against the AFC. This pick is more about what we don't know about Miami. No Myles Gaskin. I need to see more out of Tua. Wasn't great last week, even though they got the win. They kind of did it on special teams and defense. That's Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins over there. So I'm going to take the home team here, -4.5. Next, sorry, TJ. I'm going to take the Steelers. Big spread here, -14, but against Dallas. But I honestly don't see how Dallas scores. They don't know who the quarterback is. Zeke's probably not playing. Cowboys are 0-8 against the spread this year. Pittsburgh, 5-0 the last five games. Give me the Steelers. Lastly, Las Vegas and the Chargers. Looking at the total here, going over 51.5. Total's gone over in six of the last seven Raiders games and four of the last five Charger games. I like a lot of points at SoFi. And a bonus, Georgia-Florida on Saturday. Give me the Bulldogs, -3.5.
All right. So, -14 at Dallas. That is an absurd number. Is that the biggest home dog the Cowboys have been in forever in a day, or what?
Got to think so.
When was the last time the Cowboys were two touchdown home dogs? I can't recall the last time something like that happened.
I can't recall the last time we had a janitor starting at quarterback, so... There's that.
Is he? I missed that fact yesterday or 2 days ago when I was running through that resume. I did not know that.
Yeah, you got to do a deep dive.
Cowboys, the only time they've been favored to win a game, let's see. It looks like 1989, last time they were this big a home dog.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a bad year for us.
Is that the Chad Hutchinson era? What was that? Who was the Cowboys quarterback?
Wasn't that still Loffenberg, Aikman?
They were 14.5 dogs in 1989, and they lost by 17.
To who?
To San Francisco.
So Mooch came in there and laid it on him, huh? No, it was 89. That's prior to Mooch.
That was a Super Bowl year for San Francisco, so.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry, TJ, what's going on with you over there. But at least I'm in the dumpster fire with you, brother.
I mean, life is bigger than just my football team.
Good for you.
I'm doing great. All right?
You're doing great today.
I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. You know, my Jordans are popping on TV, you know, and my Mets got sold. I'm happy.
Okay. Your Jordans are popping on TV. Hold on a minute. Let me.
What do you got, Rich? What do you got today? What do you got today? Oh, we got Michigan Dunks.
I love it. The Michigan Dunks. What up, Nike?
I got some Air Max today.
Can we get sponsored here? Jumpman Nike, help us, please.
So again, everybody out there, I understand everything's going on in the world, but just think of me tomorrow at noon Eastern time when Michigan takes on Penix Jr. in Indiana.
Fingers crossed for you, bro.
I just don't.
Rich, you guys are favored in that game.
Well, great to hear. Great to hear.
And Indiana's ranked 13th. They're 10 slots ahead of you.
That should be an affront to Indiana that I'm sure they will take in the game with a big chip on their shoulder. So that'll be good. We'll talk about it on Monday's show. I want to thank today's guests, Albert Breer, Brian Windhorst, Eddie Olchek, Jeremy Piven, and the star of the day, Daniel Jeremiah. Coming in strong with fully just prepared, amazing. Buttoned up, highly detailed scouting profiles of the four fictional football characters that were featured in our poll question today that Chris Brockman will give a final result on right now.
Which fictional player would you take first overall? Everyone's looking at that high quality H2O. Bobby Boucher, 46%.
The water boy.
The water boy.
And Johnny Utah was surprisingly trashed in his scouting profile by Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, I posted all of DJ's written scouting reports on our Twitter page.
And what about our poll question for the best receiver in the National Football League?
Davante Adams, man. He is cooking right now. 46% for Devontae.
Over DK Metcalf and second place.
Over D-Hop was 28, 26 for DK.
All right, so that'll wrap it up for our radio audience. For those of you on Peacock, stick around just a little bit more before we take you to Brother from Another, the best of the week on The Rich Eisen Show when we come back. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.